All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is Brad Laughlin, and I'm here with my beloved spouse, Leslie Temple Thurston. And this is our spiritual weather report, Core Lights spiritual weather report. And the topic today is coronavirus, a spiritual perspective. And this is part two. A couple of weeks ago, we had a part one on this. And it seems like the only thing that we could possibly talk about is the coronavirus. What an amazing time we're in. What an extraordinary event that's happening. And I'm very excited to be here with you tonight and to create a field of power, to create a field of the power of one. We're going to be creating a shift in consciousness together today. I said tonight, I think, because I'm in South Africa. It's 6 p.m. here. I know it's morning for most of you in the U.S. But Leslie and I are sitting here in our living room. She's smiling and she's happy to be with us as well. And as most of you know, Leslie is in silence now, and I'm the one doing the talking, and she's giving the Shakti transmission. So yeah, here we are, and it's just an exquisite time. We're in a nationwide lockdown here in South Africa, and here we started about a week and a half ago, and I know it's different in different states in the U.S., and different countries have different things going on. So the last time I spoke with you, we were not in a lockdown, so we're a little bit behind some of you. But I guess our lockdown here is pretty rigid. You're not even supposed to take your dog out for a walk. Can you believe that? You're not even allowed to walk on the streets for exercise. That's what they say. So I have to confess, we're ignoring that rule because we live in a beautiful nature reserve and there's no point in not walking on the streets. But they're very serious about it here, and I know that many of you are going through all kinds of varied responses, some similar to this and some a little more lenient. So in any case, we've turned our lockdown into a spiritual retreat. We have a little community here of five or six people, and we gather every day for 2 hours in our home to meditate, to share. We discuss what's happening. We do check-ins, and it's incredibly powerful. I'll share more about that during the call. But for a week and a half, that's been our world, and it's magic. It's absolute magic, and I hope you're experiencing some magic too. I know many people are experiencing fear. There's a lot of fear going around, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about fear and moving through fear. So we'll start our session today with a guided meditation, as we always do, and then I'm going to share, and then we'll have time for questions and answers. And in case you didn't get the email, we have a new format today for questions and answers. We're very excited about it. It's the first time we've done this, and we've asked people to please write in questions and sharing in advance. So we'll be reading the questions and sharing, and then answering and replying. Barbara and I will answer and reply. And we've received some fantastic comments and questions, so I'm really looking forward. This is going to be a powerful session today. We've got a lot of amazing things to talk about. And just to say in advance, some of the questions we received overlapped quite a bit, so we tried to choose the questions that are, say, representative of the grouping of questions. So just know that if you don't hear your question read today, it's because it was similar to another question, and we're going to try to cover all the questions as much as we possibly can. And before we get started with our guided meditation, I just wanted to offer a message from Leslie in our circle this morning here in South Africa in our living room. We asked Leslie if she had a message for us, and She burst into an ear-to-ear smile. She's giggling right now. And she said, "Happiness is there for everyone if they want it." And I just thought that was beautiful. So I remember the Dalai Lama has also said, we can actually experience enormous joy even when we're going through challenges and hardship. So I share that with you. The final part of what Leslie said is she said, I think we all need to focus more on joy. And she started laughing. And then the rest of the quote is love, 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 love. So joy and love is, that's Leslie's message for everybody for today. And she's giving us the thumbs up right now. And we're here, our lovely friend Joan has joined us. So we're all sitting here in our living room and we're just delighted to be with you all. The sun is setting right now. It's a very peaceful moment and a calm and a hush has gone over the bush here, the African bush. And we're at the foot of the sacred mountain in this beautiful, beautiful day. It's a glorious fall day here. So I share that, we share that with you. I want to speak a little bit about the transmission that we're sending from South Africa. And if you've been on these calls with us before, you know that we do talk. There's quite a bit of talking, but by far the most important part of the call is the energy transmission. And so we invite you to be meditative throughout the call today and to receive the transmission that Leslie and I are sending from the bottom end of the Nilotic Meridian here in South Africa. And whether you're with us live today or whether you're listening to the recording, it really doesn't matter because time and space don't really exist except in the third dimension. And we're all part of this field. We're all connected. So this is an event that's happening multidimensionally. And we invite everybody to tune in to these other levels of reality, which are beyond time and space. And that's where we're all connected in love and in the unity. So just go yin and relax, and please receive the transmission of light that's coming through. And we will all participate together in this field. We will be generating this field together, whether you're with us live or listening in the future. So I invite you to please close your eyes, unless I suppose you're not driving. If everybody's in lockdown, you're not supposed to be driving. But if you're in a place where you can close your eyes, please do. And just get comfortable, relax in your chair or on the floor or in your bed. Just recline and or sit up straight, but whatever you do, try to keep your spine straight. That's the best. And let's begin with a few long, slow, deep breaths. Long, slow inhale. Long, slow exhale. Continue the breathing. Breathing in the light and the life force and this beautiful energy that surrounds you. Breathing it right into your lungs, deep down into your lungs, filling you up. And then a long, slow, deep exhale. And you can yawn if you want to. A yawn and a stretch. You can stretch your arms up above your head if you feel like you want to do that. Clasping your hands and interlocking your fingers, stretching your palms up to the ceiling and slightly stretching from side to side, slowly from side to side. And the yawning is nice. It's very relaxing. So I invite you to yawn, continuing the deep, slow breathing. When we breathe slow and deep, we send a signal to the body that we're safe, and that allows the body to relax. So the slow breathing is very important for the relaxation. And the more deeply we can relax, the more deeply we receive this gift of spiritual energy that we're all being offered. We sometimes forget the importance of relaxation. But relaxation is the foundation of the enlightening of our consciousness. So if we do nothing else today, let's relax together. I know sometimes we have to multitask, and that's okay. But for right now, just take this moment to let go. Breathe in the light. And breathe out any worries about the past or the future. Breathe in the present moment. Breathe out any tension that you might be feeling in your body. See yourself breathing in the golden white light that surrounds you. Beautiful healing energy, filling up your lungs with beautiful healing golden white light, all the way deep down into the bottom part of the lungs, and breathing out any stale, stuck energy or air that's stuck down in there. So as you continue your breathing, let's do a muscular relaxation from head to toes. And I invite you to visualize and feel a warm liquid pouring over the top of your head, something thick like honey. And just let it relax every muscle that it touches, relaxing your scalp, your forehead, and let it roll over your eyebrows. Relaxing your eyes, letting your eyeballs fall back into their sockets, deeply relaxing all the many, many muscles around the eyes, the little tiny muscles, just letting go. Feel it pouring over your face and relaxing all your facial muscles, the cheeks and the nose, mouth, the jaw, the ears, back of the head. Let's all focus for a moment on relaxing the back of the tongue. When we relax the back of the tongue, the whole region of the body relaxes, the back of the head and the neck, the shoulders. Just feel the honey, warm, beautiful honey pouring over you, relaxing all your muscles, your shoulders, your arms, all the way down to your lower arms and your hands and fingers. Relaxing deeply all the muscles. Relaxing your torso, the chest and the upper back. Relaxing the diaphragm, the abdomen, lower back, stomach area. Relaxing the hips, and especially the psoas muscles, which run down the front of the hips on either side of your body. When we can really relax the psoas muscles, we also relax the whole region of the body, the whole middle part of the body relaxes. So just focus on that for a moment and really let go. Breathing in deeply, remember your breathing. slow and long, feeling the honey pouring over your body all the way down your legs, relaxing your upper legs, the thighs and the hamstrings, relaxing your lower legs, the shins and the calves. Relaxing your ankles, your feet and toes. Just feel all the tension being swept away out of your body as this honey pours over you from head to toes, completely relaxed from head to toes. And now I'm going to be quiet for a moment, and I invite you to scan your body from head to toes and just relax any muscles that might still be holding any tension, breathing light into those areas, breathing out any tension you're holding on to. Now I invite you to put your intention inside the middle of your head in a place called the Cave of Brahman. And most of you know where that is, I know, but if you're new to the calls and you haven't heard that before, where you find the Cave of Brahman is you draw an invisible line straight back from your third eye into the middle of your head. Your third eye is between the eyebrows and slightly above. So you draw that invisible line straight back into the middle of your head. And then also draw an invisible line between your ears. And where those two lines intersect, that is the Cave of Brahman. It is actually the center of your head, where the hypothalamus, pineal, and pituitary reside. And this is a magic place known by the ancient masters. It's taught in many of the mystery schools from ancient times. And when you find this place in the center of your head, you know you've found it because it's a place where thought stops and where you get very still very quickly. And if you can't find it, that's okay. Don't let it frustrate you. Just relax and set your intention that you would like to find this place. And just ask your spiritual guides to help you will your energy there. And it's okay if you don't find it today. It will come another time if you want it. Meanwhile, if you found it, you might sense an expansion of consciousness. You might sense a slight feeling that your head is actually bigger than it is physically. And that's because we expand our energy in the Cave of Brahman. Consciousness expands there. It's a place where we actually expand and connect with the cosmos. When you've found it, Just allow yourself to relax into that place and feel the expansion of energy happen beyond your cranium, filling you up in your aura, feeling your consciousness, your awareness expand beyond your skin, out into the aura. And just allow it. It's a beautiful, relaxing feeling of connection with your divine self. As you allow this, as you relax into it and allow this, also feel your crown chakra naturally open. Your crown chakra, if you don't know, it sits on the top of your head like a crown that a king or queen would wear. You might be able to feel it if you're sensitive. And it's known as the thousand-petaled lotus. You can sense that it sits there and opens petal by petal, opening, unfurling itself up and out. So just feel that energy on the top of your head opening up. It's a beautiful feeling. And that's okay if you're not feeling it. You just set the intention that you would like to feel it one day, and you will. And for now, you can just visualize it. Feel those petals, the thousand petals opening up one by one, opening up and up and up, right on the top of your head. As your crown chakra opens, I invite you to move your energy down the core of your body. In Sanskrit, the core is known as the Sushumna. I know most of you know this if you've been with Core Light for any period of time. So forgive me for the reminders. This is for the people who are newer. So I invite you to bring your energy down the core of your body, down the Sushumna. It's like a luminous tube of light energy running down center of your body, right in front of the spine. And so feel your energy, this beautiful divine energy, from the crown chakra, feel it moving down your core, all the way down past the throat, past the heart, past the solar plexus chakra, past the navel, all the way down to the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine, at the perineum. And so put your attention there at the base of the spine. And feel how, when you put your attention there, the root chakra naturally opens and relaxes. And then drop your grounding cord from there down into the earth. It's actually an extension of your Sushumna. Just feel it dropping all the way down into the center of the earth. And connect your energy with the core of the earth. And feel the anchoring, grounding quality of the energy there at the core of the earth. and feel gravity gently pulling you towards the earth. Very gently and lovingly, feel how the earth supports you from beneath. Put your attention on all the parts of your body that are touching something, the chair or the floor. Just become aware how the earth supports your body. Feeling the weight of gravity pulling you down ever so gently. It's a beautiful, relaxing feeling where you can just let go. Just completely let go and allow this energy to bring you towards earth and feel your support beneath you. Just relaxing into Mother Earth like a little baby would relax into the arms of its mother. Oh, completely letting go. And just hold this beautiful place of relaxation for a few moments. Feel our Mother Earth energy supporting you, loving you, nurturing you, cradling you. Just letting go and relaxing completely into her. And now bring the earth energy up into your body through the soles of your feet. All the way up to the Shushumna. And back up to the heart. And let's hold our energy in the heart, right in the center of the heart. I'd like you to picture your heart as a beautiful ball of light. You can choose any color you like, pink, rose color, maybe it's blue, green. A warm, soft feeling there. You feel the light expanding in your heart. And now from your heart, I'd like you to send a loving message out through your chest. And we're placing a call out through the center of our chest, calling out to the coronavirus. And the message is, we love you. We recognize that you are here to serve a purpose. And we ask you to please share with us, what is your purpose? Why are you here? And then just relax and see if any words, thoughts, feelings, images come to you. And let's now let the virus know that we recognize it as a life form here on Earth with its own purpose. And let's acknowledge with the virus that we would like to complete our agreement with it, that we do have some agreement, and we would like to know what its highest purpose is and our highest purpose is, and how we can complete that agreement that we have with each other. So you might feel that the virus perhaps is here to help us change. It's here to provide a wake-up call of sorts. And you might recognize that when this job is complete, when we've gone through the changes we need to go through, and when we have awakened in the way that we need to, that it will return to the light when it completes its purpose. So let's all now visualize our future where this has been completed, where we have awakened to whatever we need to, where we have changed in whatever way we need to, and the virus can be blessed and sent on its way back to the light where it came from. Back to the place where it is surrounded by love, surrounded by source energy. And let's just visualize the virus. We've all seen pictures of it online. So just visualize it starting to melt into the light, since it has completed its purpose. And we've gone through the change that we need to, it can now melt into the light. So just visualize those spiky little legs on it. It's a little ball with spikes, and you can just visualize the light melting those spikes, melting the virus back into the light, and thanking it. We offer it a thanks and a blessing as it returns to the light. And we recognize as this happens that we personally and we as a human collective are at a pivot point. We are at a point of great change. We are at a place where we are awakening into the heart and into love, and that this virus is helping to serve that purpose in the end somehow, even though we may not be able to see how yet, but that's in our future. Ultimately, it's all in service to the light and in service to our awakening to love. So our awakening to the knowledge and the experience of who we truly are, which is love. So now as we hold this place, this beautiful place of love and light that we share with all life forms, including viruses, including germs, bacteria, all these life forms, they all have a purpose. So we share the light and the life force with them. And as we hold that space of unity and love and light, I'm going to say a little prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite you into this gathering. We ask that you please surround us in love and light, in a beautiful cocoon of healing, golden white light. Fill us up. Let us receive. Let us be healed and whole. Let us remember who we truly are, which is love, source energy. And we give great thanks for this opportunity to be together today, to share our love. And we give thanks for this opportunity to be in these beautiful bodies, which are on loan to us from Mother Earth for a few short years. We're deeply, deeply grateful for this experience on this beautiful planet of ours, beautiful, fragile blue planet. And we ask today that you please guide our conversation into the highest love and the highest wisdom, so that we may all be served into our soul's highest purpose. With deep gratitude, aho. Alalaho. I like to say alalaho. Now, a friend told me that that is the Tibetan amen, alalaho, and it means, isn't it wonderful? So, alalaho, isn't it wonderful? Oh, so I invite you now to slowly come back into the room and into your body. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Slowly begin to open your eyes. Or if you like, just stay deeply relaxed in meditation. That's fine too. And as I said before, we're going to talk, but the most important part of the call by far is the energy transmission that's coming in for all of us. And if you're very relaxed and in a very yin state, a very indrawn, relaxed state, it's easier to receive that energy. So we invite you to remain yin throughout the call and receive and feel the upliftment that happens from the transmission of healing energy. So much to say, so much to share, and I have a few practical things I want to share. I think I'm going to save them for the end of the call, though. Before we start our topic of the day, I'd like to just summarize the last call, because I think what we're going to talk about today builds on the last call, and also some people may be new to the call. So just to quickly review what we talked about last time, what we were all sharing was that this is a global wake-up call. Obviously, it's both personal and collective, and it's really an outpicturing of the illness of our society, that we're in a sick society. It's the system of separation run to its logical conclusion. We have become so separate that we've become ill, and we've actually helped the earth to become ill as well. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that and the healing that's coming from this as well, because what comes out of this is healing energy. And the other thing is that there are great gifts, enormous gifts and opportunities in this time, as well as challenges. And we'll talk about those as well. And so we also, last time we talked about, although this looks like the extreme point of separation, it's actually ultimately going to generate a greater connection and greater wholeness and health for all of us. So it's important to remember that nothing is wrong. There's nothing that's gone wrong. And as we were shown in our meditation, the virus has a purpose too. And the virus is definitely trying to restore balance in some way, maybe a way that we can't fathom yet, but that is the purpose of viruses, is to help restore balance. So another aspect of our call last time is that we all get to see right now what's inside of us. We're getting to see our reactions. We're getting to see what we're made of. And that's one of the gifts as well. One of the big things we talked about last time was fear. And I want to focus a lot on that today, what it is, what is fear, and how do we get through it? Because I know as time has marched on, I've heard from more and more people that fear is running rampant and the media is whipping it up. So we're going to focus on fear today and getting through that. And a number of people asked about that as well. The other thing we talked about last time, which I'm not going to talk about this time, is the witness, because I know most of you on the call, you've been with Core Light for some time, and you know what the witness is. But if you're new to Core Light, what I would like to share with you just briefly about it is that the witness is what we call our neutral observer. It's the part of us that can practice detachment. So it's the perceiver. It's the part of us that perceives. It's the part of us that watches all of the emotions passing through us, especially all the negative limited states, which we call the downward spiral states. And we allow them through the witness. We're able to watch them pass through. We feel them. We don't push them away. We feel them, but we allow them to pass through, knowing that this too shall pass. So the witness is one of the key spiritual tools that we're all using right now to get through this time. The remembering that we're actually living in a virtual world, and these bodies are not who we are. That one day we slip them off like an overcoat and return to source, which is what we truly are, is that source energy. So the witness remembers this. The witness starts off as a neutral observer and ultimately realizes who it truly is, that we are love. And we hold that awareness more and more and more as we practice witnessing. So if this is new to you, I invite you to read our book, The Marriage of Spirit, which you can get on our website at corelight.org, The Marriage of Spirit. And it is there's a chapter in there about the witness, which is profound. And if you've been with Core Light for a long time and you haven't read that chapter in a while, I invite you to go back and read it. It's profound. Leslie did a brilliant job of writing that chapter, and it's a great reminder. Last call, we also talked a lot about change and the disruption of our routines. So the foundation of the spiritual path is how we handle change. And the routines and the patterns and the habits that we have are all the aspects of the old third dimensional egoic structure. And now is a time for a massive change. It's a shakeup. It's a system-wide shakeup for the collective as well as for each of us personally. And it's our wake-up call. Last call, we also talked about how our thoughts are shared. We talked a lot about consciousness and how whatever consciousness we are generating, we are contributing that to the collective. So we can choose whatever state of consciousness we like, knowing that that's going into the collective. We're feeding that to the collective. So if we choose to feel victimized and go into fear, that's what we feed in. If we choose to focus on generating peace and calm and love and compassion, we feed those energies into the collective. And of course, that's the antidote to the fear. The antidote to the fear is the love and the compassion and the connection. And we can practice being that peace and the love that we want to see in the world. We can manifest that for ourselves. And we have all the tools we need to do that. And as we do that, we feed that into the collective. So it's a huge step in the mass awakening that's happening. And that is our destiny. Humanity's destiny is to wake up to who we truly are, to wake up to love, to wake up to the heart. And this is where we're headed. So the invitation to all of us right now is to spend more time in that place right now, more time in the higher states. So that's essentially the summary of what we talked about last time. And I'd like to move now into today's topic, which is continuation of that. And Barbara, before I begin, I just want to check in with you to make sure that my sound is okay and you can hear me okay and everything's going all right.
Everything is going beautifully, Brad. We can hear you. And I just wanted to acknowledge your closing of your prayer and say it again.
Alalaho.
Alalaho.
It's Tibetan.
And the message I got in the meditation right before you ended the prayer was about the virus, and isn't it wonderful?
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
How beautiful, Barbara.
I know. Isn't that just so amazing? And
it,
just really feeling into that. And what a truly profound gift. So, yes, that's what I wanted to share. Thank you, Brad. And you're sounding great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that, Barbara. That's beautiful. It's a great confirmation that we're all on the right track here.
Yes.
So the shake-up, the wake-up, we're in it. And, boy, are we in it. And something obvious that I didn't mention last time that I meant to, so I'll mention it now, is that, of course, the word corona means crown. I'm sure all of you know that in Spanish. And what's very interesting, a friend of mine told me this week that in Corona, Queens, New York, that is the place where the most cases of this virus are. The hospital there is apparently the hospital that's most affected by this. Isn't that interesting? Not that we know what that means, not that we have to read a lot into it, but these things are never accidents. And so another obvious aspect is that this is a collective crown chakra opening. We are being invited into new levels of discovering our divinity, our connection with the invisible realms, our connection with the divine. It's just an extraordinary opportunity right now for the global shift and the reset. And if you haven't thought about this, I just want to put it out there into our circle that we have to realize that there's not been any other time on Earth where almost everybody on the planet is doing the same activity, which is staying at home, practicing the social distancing. And, of course, the irony is that even though we're acting out the ultimate separation from each other, this mass event has the potential to bring us together more than ever now. There's this opportunity for the global shift into unity consciousness simply because we are all connected with the same thought forms. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the collective consciousness. As I think I mentioned already, we've decided here in South Africa in our little in my home and in my neighbor's home, we've all been exposed to the same thing, so we just decided to not socially isolate with our neighbors, which is essentially it's Kellyanne, Leslie's assistant, Kellyanne Conway, who most of you know, and not the Kellyanne Conway in the White House, if you're new to Corelight, not that one. So when we meet every day as a little spiritual community, the six of us here in our living room, and we spend 2 hours every day. We meditate for an hour and we share and check in for an hour. And one of the things we do is we end our circle with drawing one of our Enlightened Living cards. Leslie and Corelight created a deck of cards many, many years ago called Enlightened Living Cards, and they are quotes from our book, The Marriage of Spirit. And we draw those cards occasionally along with other cards. And the very first day in our circle, the one we drew was called The Collective Unconscious. And I just thought it was very apropos. It told us that we need to remember that so much of what we're doing personally, each of us, if you're listening to this recording, this applies to you. If you're on the call with us live, this applies to you. The collective unconscious, and I'm going to read the card. We have a personal unconscious relating to our individual selves, and an impersonal unconscious, common to everyone. Jung called the impersonal unconscious the collective unconscious, implying that this collective awareness of all humanity is one state common to all of us. The collective unconscious is a rich repository of all the archetypes, memories, and wisdom of all humanity. As you explore it in the course of your transformation, you come into contact with the totality of all consciousness, and you become capable of accessing it energetically. So that was especially profound for us, and I wanted to share it with you. And by the way, if you want a deck of those cards, they're sold on our web store at corelight.org. Many people don't know about them. That's why I'm suggesting that. If you haven't gotten them yet, they're really special. But in any case, I felt this message applied to all of us, and I wanted to read it, especially because what's happening in the collective right now, from what we can feel and from what I hear from many people, especially in the United States, is fear. And if you've been on these calls at all over the last 2 years, we've talked about this quite a bit. I have an experience of, you know, I travel quite a bit, and when I enter the United States, very often the first thing I feel is a new, it's like a ceiling. It's hard to describe, but it's an energy, and it's like a ceiling over the collective consciousness, and the ceiling is made of fear. Excuse me. So I wanted to speak about it. It just feels like that's really one of the things we really need to talk about. I believe everybody must be experiencing it at some level, whether you're experiencing your own fear or the collective fear, whether you might be afraid of the virus, afraid of illness or death, or whether you might be afraid for somebody you know who might be vulnerable, or I know a lot of people are experiencing fear of the financial situation, fear of losing money, fear of not having enough, and so on. And, you know, we saw it with all the panic buying. The panic buying happened all over the world. And so even if you're not experiencing it personally, if you are feeling it, you might be feeling it through the collective, because as we were talking about before, all thoughts and feelings are shared. We think they're ours personally, but they are shared. So right now, being immersed in the collective unconscious is not a fun place to be because of the level of fear that's being ramped up. And in that place, our vibration drops dramatically. We recognize that we can't make wise decisions from that place when we're in fear. We can't think properly. Everything seems to be clouded. We're looking through a lens of lower vibratory consciousness, contraction. So there's no, and I just want to say there's no judgment about this. It's totally natural. So we don't need to get down on ourselves if we're feeling that. It's very natural to feel fear at a time like this. But I think it's important to talk about it, to name it, to witness it, and especially important to recognize the different types of fear. One of the main fears that we feel is the fear that the body has. And that's different from the fear that the ego, the egoic mind might have. The body's fear is the natural fight or flight mechanism. And when we, we experience, back in the day when we were hunter-gatherers, we might have been, you know, exposed to a wild animal, and the fight or flight mechanism was put into us for our own survival, and the energy contracts. The adrenals start putting out all kinds of chemicals in the body so that we can fight or flee. And it's important for our survival. So it's very natural. And I feel like it's important to name that, that we don't need to judge ourselves for feeling fear, because nowadays we might not be faced by a lion, but we might be faced by financial insecurity or an illness or something like that. So that's number one, is the body's fear. And then number two is to look at the fear of the egoic mind and how once we're in that fight or flight mode, once we're in our survival fear, then the egoic mind can take over from there and can make a lot more out of it. We can start creating scenarios. We can start projecting out into the future. We can wrap all kinds of other emotions and scenarios around it, and it can overwhelm us. It can take over and just run us. And so this is where the witness comes in. The stronger the witness, the better chance we have of naming it, stopping right in the moment when it begins, to be able to name it and say, oh, wait, this is fight or flight. This is fear. And this is my mind taking over now of the body's fear. So we witness that. And the more we can do that, the more we're able to feel it, examine it, process it, and ultimately let it go. So that's all great in theory. You know, we can talk about it all we want. The practice, as we all know, is the harder part. Easier said than done, as they say. So one method of fear clearing, one way to do this, is to ask ourselves, as soon as we regain the witness, we say, okay, I'm in fear. What's the opposite? What is the opposite of fear? And if we have the wherewithal to do that, even if it's a few minutes or a few hours or even a few days later, this, just as soon as we recognize, wait a minute, I'm running fear, we stop and we say, what is the opposite? And, you know, what do you come up with as an opposite for fear? I'm asking you right now. You don't have to raise your hand, but you can just ask yourself inwardly, what is the opposite of fear? And you might find peace. You might find love. You might find calm. Anything like that can be an opposite to fear. One of the other methods that we use is, they are the Marriage of Spirit techniques. The book I mentioned earlier, the Marriage of Spirit book, has great tools for this. And I know most of you, the vast majority of you on the call, are longtime Core Lighters. You've been through our courses and you read the book, so you know how to do squares and polarities and triangles. And we're not going to go into that now, of course, but if you're new to Core Light and you want to know about that stuff, again, The Marriage of Spirit is the book. And these tools are very practical tools to be able to deal with fear. I feel like one of the things that we can all consider at this time when we're in this reset, consider that we are in a training. We're in a training program right now. Spirit has given us this time, however long it's going to be, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever it turns out to be. I know we're all taking this day by day, but we're getting a training period, and it's a training in moving through fear and letting it go. So we can reframe the way we're looking at this time by considering that. So I offer that to you. If you've been part of Core Light's courses, if you've been through the Spiritual Warrior course or the Enhanced Self-Discovery course, Barbara offers processing calls every month, and I highly recommend them. That's a great way to get through the fear, and it's great to be in community as well. So before the call's over, not right now, but Barbara, before the call's over, I'd like you to share about the next call, the next Squares call, so people can know how to get on that if they're part of those courses or graduated from those courses. Um, So let's see, there's so much we can say about fear, but I think one of the most important things to acknowledge right now is that we're in this both personally and collectively. We've got the personal aspect and the collective aspect to deal with. So one of Leslie's greatest teachings that she ever gave me, and I'm sure most of you agree if you've been around Core Light for any period of time, is that fear is what the walls of the ego are made of. So we can visualize ourselves sort of like we're inside an egg. And the shell of the egg is the outer edge of the egoic structure. And that eggshell is made of literally of the vibration of fear. It's probably more like a permeable membrane than a shell, but imagine that image that you've got this frequency, this vibration of fear surrounding you where the ego wall, the outer wall is. So it's natural that when we come up against it, we're always sort of expanding and contracting our energy, expanding and contracting our awareness. And so when we expand our awareness and we bump up against it, we feel the fear. We feel the wall of the ego as fear. We feel the vibration. And what it says to us is don't go any further, because if you go any further than this, you will die. So you have to turn around and go back or die. And it's essentially the ego, the principle is that the ego fears its own death. So typically, if one is not a spiritual seeker, one doesn't have the tools, usually we just turn around and we don't press forward. We do not try to expand. We just try to stay small. And because the ego is synonymous with control, and it's programmed to want the status quo, it always stays the same through this mechanism. It's a simple mechanism that's built into the structure of the ego to keep us the same, to keep a certain sense of control. It's not bad or wrong. It's just the way it's built so that we can have the experience of being human here on Earth. So it's actually, you know, a great thing to a point until we become spiritual seekers, really, and we start wanting to grow. And so we start to want to expand beyond our boundaries, and we want to expand beyond our habits and our patterns of the ego. So while the ego is happy there, staying the same in its little world, the other part of us that is the spiritual seeker wants to grow, and we want to gather our courage up to move beyond the shell or that membrane of the ego. So as we grow and expand spiritually beyond that shell, beyond that membrane, we're going to feel the fear as we pass through the shell. So I feel that's a really critical piece for us right now, because we need to remember that if we're feeling fear, it is our limitation. It's the limit of the egoic structure. And also just to point out that it's not really even death. It's not death. It's more like a graduation for the ego. It's more like a morphing into something new. So the ego fears its death, but what it's really fearing is change. And so I'm bringing this up because I hope you can bear with me. I'm sure many of you know this, and it's just a reminder, but if you can bear with me, there's an important point here. What's true for our personal journey is also true for the collective journey. And so what we're all feeling right now is the fear that's at the edge of the collective ego. So in essence, what's happening to the collective unconscious, it's the collective ego fearing the change that's coming. It's fearing its death. But again, it's not really death. This is just change. It's just a graduation into a new paradigm, into the new paradigm of the heart, to be exact. So we're all going through this as a collective right now. And I think the thing that helps us to get through it is to remember that this new paradigm is going to be a much improved version of our planet. It's It's like Earth 2.0 that's going to be where we live all the qualities of the heart, the higher qualities of love and compassion and generosity and gratitude and so forth. So I feel like it's just important to kind of lay out that mechanism where we remember that fear is literally just a frequency. That's what fear is. And if we're experiencing it, we witness it, we remember, oh, right, fear is just a frequency. And there's a great analogy. I know some of you heard this before, so forgive me if you have, but there's a great analogy of the sharks in the ocean. There were beaches in Australia where the sharks were causing trouble at the beaches attacking the humans, and the shark nets weren't working. So they came up with a new idea to try to keep the sharks out. And what they did was they buried a perforated pipe under the ocean floor, and then they pumped air through the perforated pipe. And a wall of bubbles came up and protected the beach where the net used to be. And what they found was that the wall of bubbles was actually much more effective than the nets. And I found that totally amazing, because if you think about it, you know, the animal could easily just go right through the wall of bubbles. But instead, what would happen is the sharks would come up to the wall of bubbles. They'd see a wall in front of them, think that they couldn't go through it, and they'd turn around and head back the other way out to sea. And what's also interesting is that the wall of bubbles did not fool the dolphins at all. The dolphins would just go right through the wall. So the analogy here is that fear is a frequency. Fear is like the wall of bubbles, and we need to be more like the dolphins than the sharks. We need to remember that we can simply pass through it. We will feel the vibration of the fear, and yet we'll pass through to the other side. And on the other side is the new expanded version of us. And this is one way to transmute the fears, to witness it and remember this, and to just have the courage to move through it. So I offer this as an exercise that we can all be practicing. Nelson Mandela said once that courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is the recognition of fear and the ability to move through the fear anyway. So I like that. And the other thing, there's another tool we can use during this time of fear. When we feel fear, we can also ask our guides, our spiritual guides, to be shown where our beliefs are not correct. In other words, fear is always about something that's not truthful. So we can ask the guides, show us where we are incorrect, where our beliefs are incorrect. And the spiritual guides can't take the fear away from us, but they can show us why we have the fear, what is there for us to process, examine, and let go of. And then it's up to us to actually choose the courage, to choose the love, to choose the heart state to get through the fear. And I also know my friend Lina Burnson, who some of you know as well, she's a channel, and her guides have always said that fear is a projection. It's a projection into the future, or it's a worry about the past. So if you're in fear, one of the ways out is to remember that and then simply to ask yourself, what is there to be afraid of right now in this present moment? And if you ask that question, what is there to be afraid of right in this present moment? The answer is always nothing. There's nothing to be afraid of. I just want to share with you a couple more things about fear before we shift gears. I was talking the other day with my friend Anna Breitenbach, who some of you know. Anna, you might know Anna Breitenbach as the animal communicator. And I'm going to read a quote to you. She did a radio show the other day, and I transcribed this because I thought it was so powerful. In her radio show, she said, "We humans are unique in our avoidance of death, our psychological avoidance of death, our attempt at all costs to extend our lives as long as possible. We humans are completely obsessed with length of life. But all other living beings know that the quality of life is what matters. And they don't see physical death as the end of everything, the final curtain. They just see physical death as simply dropping the body. But that's their essential nature. They are just currently inhabiting a body, and when the body dies, well, then you just don't have the body anymore, but you still go on." So that's the perspective of the animal kingdom. And let's see. I'm just pausing for a second because I just want to tune in to see where to go next. There are many different directions we could go. I just want to add some things about death here, since we're on the topic of death. I feel like, you know, death is our advisor, as Carlos Castaneda, as Don Juan said in the Carlos Castaneda books, death is our advisor. And it's important to remember that what's beyond death but love? Death is an opening into love. So we fear death, but in truth, we're really just fearing the change that's going to happen to us. And on the other side of the fear and on the other side of the change is the love. So I feel like that's also really important to remember in this time to help us get through. And let's see, maybe lastly, I like to share one personal example with you. This came up, I was talking with a group the other day online, and I found myself sharing something that I'd like to share with you. We were saying that even though the collective is in a huge amount of fear, we can tap into any level of consciousness that we choose. We do not have to be tapping into that collective of fear. And what I found myself saying to the group is, I'm definitely feeling so much compassion for the people in the world who are suffering. I know that there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of illness, and people are dying, and it's hard. A lot of people going through hardship. And so I just honor that. I honor everybody that's going through a difficult time. However, I'm having a different experience right now, and I just felt like I needed to share it. And the personal experience that I'm having, and that I know most of the people here in our little spiritual community are having, is that we're having this experience of tremendous excitement. There's this inspiration and enthusiasm and excitement that we're tapping into. And I feel like there's this other level of the collective experience that's happening simultaneously. And we can tap into that instead of tapping into the fear if we want to. So I wanted to put that out to you because that's our experience here, and that works for us. And it's not that we don't experience the fear sometimes. We certainly do. But there are ways, as we've been talking tonight, to move through that fear and to tap into these other levels of collective consciousness, which are very high vibration right now. So the example that I want to give of this is an extraordinary experience that Leslie and I had in 1994. And it was an experience of tapping into the collective consciousness that was one of the most profound spiritual experiences of my life. And I hope this helps illustrate the point a little bit by sharing this with you. It was the election of Nelson Mandela. And the first time that I ever came to South Africa was in 1994. Leslie and I had just started our relationship, and we came together to be witness to Nelson Mandela's election and to the end of apartheid. And what happened was it's impossible to describe. It's impossible to put into words. You had to experience it to understand it, but I'm going to try. So what happened was there was this feeling in the country where 90% or more of the people were all focused on the same thing. Everybody in that group was focused on freedom and peace and equality and justice and love and celebration. I want to cry when I talk about it because it just is, it was such an intense and overwhelming experience of unity consciousness. And I remember we would be walking around the city of Johannesburg, looking at complete strangers, gazing into everybody's eyes, and everybody was doing it to each other. And everybody was exclaiming, "Do you feel that? What are we experiencing? What is this? What are we experiencing? What are we feeling? There's something different." And Leslie said to me at the time, she said, "It's unity consciousness. Everybody's getting a taste of unity consciousness. It's a taste of the heart. The global heart is awakening." So, sorry, something's happening here. What was this? Excitement of, what is that?
Moving.
Oh, moving. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the excitement, they're telling me to share about the excitement of shifting dimensions. We're shifting paradigms into the new paradigm of the heart, literally changing dimensions right now. So that's the excitement that we're all tapping into. And I share this story with you because this is our invitation. It's the invitation for all of us to tap into that level of unity consciousness, to tap into what a lot of people call the fourth dimension, or the fifth dimension, or fifth density, some people say, fourth density, but whatever you want to call it, it's the new paradigm of the heart. It's unity consciousness. And at some level of our beings, we know that this is not the final curtain, as Anna said. This is not death. This is not the end. Yes, it's an ending, but it's a graduation. It's a beginning of something new. It's like the analogy I like to give is, it's, you know, when the baby in the womb, the fetus in the womb, starts experiencing the contractions and the woman's ready to give birth, the fetus thinks it's dying. It thinks it's dying. And so I feel like that's apropos for all of us right now. If we're experiencing fear, let's just remember that we're like the fetus in the womb and we're about to be born. Yes, we're experiencing contractions. Yes, we're pushed out of our very familiar, warm, and cozy place, even if it's mostly pretty awful at times these days to be in the third dimension. You know, none of our systems are working. There's so many issues. Systems are not working well, and you know, so many problems in our world, so much inequality and so forth. The list is long of problems. And so that is the womb that we're in. The womb that we're in is the third dimension. So let's just remember that as we experience the contractions, as we experience the fear, as we experience facing our death, quote unquote, we're actually being born into a whole new reality. And we can tap into that new reality to help us get through. And that new reality is the fourth dimension. It's the new paradigm of the heart. Okay, so let's see. Barbara, I want you to share as well. Before I open up, I just want to say one more thing. And that is that one of the most important things for us to remember right now is that this is a time to stop. It's a time to pause. It's a time to reflect, to begin. I mean, I know that it's hard for a lot of people to just stop. A lot of people want to get busy, you know, get catching up on all of our projects. We're taught in our culture that to be productive is to be alive. To be productive, what that really means is, let's translate that. It means to be productive in a yang way, in a masculine way. It's outer productivity. It's showing, being able to show something physical, something you've made, something physical that you have produced. There's another kind of productivity, and it's equally as powerful, and it's yin productivity, and that's the feminine form of productivity. The yin form of productivity is stopping and resting and pausing and going inward. And it's equally as important as yang productivity. So I invite everybody on this call to give yourself permission to not be productive in the traditional sense of the word, to just stop. My belief, and I've heard other friends and channels and other people I respect say this too, and that is that that's what the guides want us to do. The spiritual guides who are running the show, they want us to use this time to rest and go within. And I know that's not easy. I know it's for me, it's difficult, I have to say, I confess. part of me wants to get busy doing all kinds of things. And yet, I know the importance of this. Example to give is that, you know, if you're an athlete, you practice, you go. But unless you get a lot of sleep and unless you rest, you're going to burn out. So the rest is equally as important as the productivity. Okay, I could say a lot more, but I've been talking and talking. So Barbara, will you please check in with us? Let me know how you're feeling about all this and if there's anything you'd like to share with us before we go to the question and answer period.
Thank you, Brad. This has been so enlightening, energetically, to be with everyone. I think we have over 100 participants, and it just is feeling so powerful and so profound. And I'm just in such deep gratitude for all that you're sharing. I'm hearing a little feedback, Brad, so I'm going to put you on mute right now. See if that doesn't, that clears things up. And then I'll open it up when I'm feeling complete. The piece that I'd like to offer into the circle, into the collective consciousness today, is about the going inward that you were referencing, that all of this is guiding us to go inside. Inside the physical body. And so many of us, through the fight, flight, or freeze, have gotten on an automatic, I want to say an eject button. When we are feeling any kind of fear, we vacate the body. We use things, you know, addictively to try to cover the fear. And this gift of the coronavirus is... Sorry, I'm not sure what all happened right there, but the gift of the coronavirus is to bring up any and all unconscious individual as well as collective fears, and this is actually the doorway. If we're able to sit with, in the neutral witness, with these fears, this is the doorway through into the new paradigm. So that's the piece that I really wanted to share and offer to the group, that the answers are not outside of us. And someone on a call yesterday was talking about her realization that she really doesn't have any control over anything, that, you know, we've kind of deluded ourselves into thinking that we have control over this or control over that. And the gift in that is to let go and surrender and stop struggling and fighting and trying to make things go the way our ego thinks they're meant to or they're supposed to. So that is the piece that I'm offering into the circle today. Thanks, Brett. I'm going to unmute you. And hopefully there won't be too much feedback. I can mute myself again, Brad. So that was the piece
okay.
I wanted to share. Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. That was lovely. Thank you so much, Barbara. Well, shall we open up to questions and answers?
Yes, I think
we
should.
I
was going to say, Brad, I do see a hand raised. And I'm not sure if it's just a comment. We're not really taking any questions from anyone. And so I don't know if this person is aware that we're not doing live questions, that we have, you know, written in questions. So I'm not sure how you want to.
Well, I think we should go with the new format. We wanted to do try a new format today. The format we're trying is we asked everybody to please write your questions in advance, and they were fantastic questions and sharing.
Yes.
So let's go with that. We've got some excellent questions, and we're running out of time. So I think we might
okay.
as well do that.
Sounds
and I apologize
good.
If you put your hand up and you have a question, I'm sorry. I would suggest for everybody, if you wanted to write in a question for next time, if we don't handle your question today or a question's been brought up for you this time, please email us. It's courses@corelight.org. And if you email courses@corelight.org, your question, we'll put it in the pool of questions for next time, for next month.
Wonderful. So here we go. I'm putting everybody's hands down that may have raised their hands, and they'll have an opportunity to share through the written
and
word.
I'm sorry. I apologize again because I know this is new. So I'm sorry that we've shifted formats, but we need to try a new format because time is about change. So
yes.
That's our change.
Okay. All right. So would you like me to read the question, Brad, one of the questions that
please.
Was offered? Okay. So here, this is a comment. Years back, I remember you talking about everyone on the planet experiencing global grief, consciously or subconsciously. I've tuned into that and totally agree as we witness loss and devastation. In the past week, I have observed myself vacillating through the stages of grief and have recognized them as just that. It's a collective global grief that at times can feel overwhelming. I also witness the victim-tyrant polarity playing out, the virus being the tyrant and everyone as the victim. Every few days, I process through a different perspective. As I grapple with the situation, I'm trying to find somewhere to hang my hat because right now, acceptance feels premature.
Yeah, I find this a profound question/comment about
yes.
grief and collective grief. And I do remember we talked about this in September last year. It seems like it was years back, but it was actually just in September of last year that
mm-hmm,
we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. It's interesting that we talked about collective grief because, and what I said back then was that we're all in a collective grieving process because we're losing our way of life. We're losing life as we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing the systems that are broken that used to work. We're losing just the way we used to be in the world,
mm-hmm.
and we're losing the earth the way it was. So it's a massive grieving process. And what we talked about was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's book on death and dying, where she named the five stages of grief. And I'll just name those stages because the person who asked the question is, gave the sharing, is referring to those five stages. She's talking about acceptance feeling premature, acceptance being the final stage of grief. So the stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. And also, just to be clear, it's not linear. This is not a linear process. We bounce around. We sometimes might go from denial straight to depression. But generally, there's a path that we follow through this. And if you look at what's happening in our world, you know, you can see these stages being played out. We've all felt them at some time or another. Denial being a big one. You know, how many people are denying that our world is changing? No, there's no climate change. No, there's no, you know, there's no need to change. There's no problem or whatever. And obviously, that's how it begins. And the second stage of grief, she says, is anger. So once we recognize that change is happening, that we're losing, quote unquote, losing something, we get angry. And we try to blame somebody. And we go through all the phases of anger that we tend to go through, blaming and projecting and what have you. And then eventually we move through that and we get to the bargaining stage. And, you know, I skipped over this, but I think anger is obvious. Most people are going through some form of anger at the way the world is being run, at the quote-unquote leadership around our world. There's much compassion lacking. There's much leadership lacking in many ways. And this is all over the world. I'm not trying to point fingers at any one person or any one country, but this is a global pandemic, let's say. And so, and I'm not talking about political parties. This has been going on for a long time. We know the system is broken, and we can all agree, no matter what side of the aisle we happen to be on, no matter what our beliefs, we all agree that the system is broken. And people are angry about it. And so then there's bargaining. You know, we tend to bargain with God. And the fourth stage being depression. And then the fifth stage being acceptance. And I guess I feel like the fact that that somebody asked about grief, it felt really important to bring this up again. I've seen it going around. You know, there are countless videos and articles and audios to listen to nowadays about coronavirus. And I've seen people starting to talk about this grief. And it's important. It's a very important part of it is to discuss it, to recognize that we're in it, to know whatever we're feeling fits into that five-stage process of grief, and to recognize that it's not linear, that we bounce around. And as the person said, she's trying to find somewhere to hang her hat. And I like that expression because there's no real place to hang your hat right now. You know, we're just in grief, and it's very important to be in it and to name the feelings that we're feeling and to practice witnessing and to practice letting them pass through and moving into some form of acceptance. And there's no rush. You know, we can't rush grief. Grief, the heart has to have its due. The heart has to run its course with whatever. And, you know, we may be going through this for a while. So I think it's great that it's coming up now for discussion. I also want to say about grief that it's, when I was first starting to look at grief and study grief, somebody wise said to me, grief is like a soup. And it's, you know, it's a soup of all kinds of emotions. And so we just need to be in that soup of emotions and do our best to witness and name them, feel them, and let them pass through us. Bounce around as much as we like. Let our heart, if we just need to cry one day, we just cry. If we just need to get angry and beat the pillow, we beat the pillow. Or scream, we just do that. If we just need to feel depressed, then we let ourselves feel depressed. And that being said, you know, wallowing in it for the sake of wallowing in it is not going to serve anybody. Yes, feel it. Yes, release it and let it go. And yes, we eventually move on when the heart tells us we can move on. So I guess also about this, I just wanted to comment. It's important that we let go of our old way of life. It's important that we let go of what is quote-unquote lost and to stop trying to get the old way back, because the old way is not coming back. We know that after this period of time is over with the coronavirus, we might try to go back to normal, but it will never go back to normal, quote-unquote. There's going to be a new normal. And, important to let it go, grieve the loss. And if we try to hang on to the old way and to just get back there somehow, that's what creates stress. And it's interesting, you know, when we create stress, that's what the exact thing that lowers the immune system. So if we want to stay healthy during this time and boost the immune system, we have to practice grieving. We have to practice letting go, not trying to hold on. Is there anything that you'd like to share about that, Barbara?
Yes, thank you, Brad. You know, as you were reading and talking about, you know, what could the sharer hang her hat on, what came up for me was Leslie's teaching. It was one of the first teachings I ever received more than 20 years ago, and I heard, I tell her to hang her hat on her heart. and to keep her heart open. And that's what we're all being asked to do, is that no matter what, to keep our hearts open. And someone way back when, you know, in the late 90s, was grieving the loss of her husband. And that was the teaching that Leslie was sharing. Feel the feelings and do not shut your heart down. So that's the piece that I'm wanting to share. And you talked about a little bit, Brad, about not identifying with the feelings, not saying that we are the grief, but that grief is moving through us. That will allow us to maintain the witness. So that would be my offering.
Yeah, beautiful, Barbara. Thank you. And I also want to add to what you said, and that is that when we complete the grief, we move more into joy.
Yes.
Grief and joy are opposites. And so as the mystics say, you can only go as high as you're willing to go low.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the example that I've given before on these calls of the African grieving ritual. And there was a woman who was an African woman who was at one of these rituals, and somebody saw how happy she was at this grieving ritual. Everybody was grieving so much. And she said to this African woman, "How can you be so happy and joyful?" And the woman paused and said, "I think I can be so joyful because I've grieved so much."
Mm.
And so it's like an emptying. It's an emptying out of the grief. And as we allow ourselves to feel the grief and let it pass through, we move more into joy. We get to experience joy more. And as Leslie's message, as Leslie's message gave us today, you know, it's time to start living more in joy. So that means it's also time to start grieving and letting the grief go, recognizing that we're grieving a loss and we need to do it and just get through it.
Thank you for sharing that story again, Brad. And I would encourage everyone to feel in their body what that feels like, what you just stated. It just feels so exquisitely beautiful.
Mm.
So thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah.
It's interesting how it goes
you.
In, even deeper each time. That surrendering, that goes in so much deeper. Okay, so shall we share the next question, Brad, which kind of dovetails into... Yeah.
Yeah, before you go to the next question, Barbara, I just want to acknowledge there was one other point in that sharing,
Was
about victim-tyrant, the victim-tyrant consciousness. The person asked about victim-tyrant consciousness, and I just, you know, it's interesting to me that this is coming up. Several of the questions had that in it, the theme of victim-tyrant consciousness,
mm-hmm.
And this is the theme of the events that I'm being guided to offer this summer. And maybe this is a point where I can just weave this in. I was going to wait till the end, but let me weave it in now since it's coming up. It's pretty obvious with the coronavirus that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to travel from South Africa to the United States this summer. We'll see. I would love to. I hope we can still do the events that are planned, the in-person events. And it's possible that we won't be able to do them. But I want you to know that whatever happens, if I can't travel in person, we'll do the event virtually. And I know it's not the same as in person, but it's the next best thing. And at least we have that technology. So I was guided when I asked what I should be teaching this summer. I was guided very clearly. We've got to be working on victim tyrant consciousness. And boy, is it up. It is the main polarity. It's the main issue that humanity is working on. It's the thing that holds most of us back into the third dimension, is the victim tyrant consciousness. So it's natural to feel that a virus would be the tyrant and we would be the victim of the virus. That is natural because that's the society, that's the culture we were brought up in. We were raised in that consciousness. So that's how that's the lens through which we perceive everything. And as we move more into the heart, as we move more into the higher states, and we can see through a new lens, what we actually see is that that is actually not the truth of the situation at a higher level. We see beyond victims and tyrants, and we see there's a higher purpose to everything. And so, yes, it would appear as though there is a virus that's victimizing us. And yet, if we remember I didn't talk about this yet. I was going to say if we remember what Anna Breitenbach said, but I didn't finish sharing what she said. I'm going to summarize. I'm going to paraphrase what Anna said the other day. People asked her on this radio show if she's had a chance to talk to the virus, because if you know Anna, she gets incredible information from all life forms, not just animals, but plants and cellular life, small life, oversouls of various animals and so forth. And the information that comes out of her is extraordinary. So I really trust her seeing. And she was asked if she's had a chance to connect with the coronavirus. And she actually said no, you know, she didn't connect with the coronavirus because she's connected with many viruses in the past. And when she tuned in a little bit to the coronavirus, she felt it was the exact same message that she'd been given before. And essentially, the message is that they say, the viruses say, we are the cleaners. People call us parasites. And here's what I'm doing. I want you to know I'm reading from an article written by an associate, a colleague of Anna's. Her name is Penelope Smith. She's considered like the mother of animal communication. Her website is animaltalk.net. And if you go to animaltalk.net, you'll find this essay about coronavirus. So I'm going to read what she says here. Because Anna said, I don't need to do it. Penelope Smith has done it. And what she says is, the message from the coronavirus is this. People may think of viruses with fear as negative entities that need to be destroyed before they decimate our bodies. But viruses are living beings with whom you can communicate. They are just as alive and conscious as other animals, including you and me. In tuning into them, they informed me, we are the cleaners. People call us parasites, but we are equalizers or restorers of harmony. They relayed an energetic feeling and image of sweeping through with a big broom and cleaning up debris. They communicated their purpose to help our bodies to evolve. They help cells evolve to their next level. Sweeping through, they mutate to avoid destruction because they have a function to make species stronger. I learned from viruses that they are part of the Earth's recycling crew and evolutionary movers and shakers. They showed me that Earth, was originally programmed to constantly evolve into something more beautiful. Viruses help species develop into their next level of beauty, health, and wholeness. They are restorers of balance. Viruses flourish when there is an imbalance because they are the restorers of the balance. They balance and further the evolution of species. This certainly is a more universal outlook than seeing viruses as enemies. In connecting with them, I felt viruses are just as full of dedication to their purpose in the circle of life as other species. They're fulfilling their function with love and devotion. The living cells and bodies that they contact are spurred to increase in consciousness. In the cleaning up process, they also can heighten our spiritual presence and awareness if we are open to this opportunity. Microorganisms do not necessarily focus on saving individual bodies in their dedication to cleansing and rebalancing. Their major task is to assist both the cellular consciousness of bodies and the whole life or soul of humanity and other species too. The overall virus entity or soul showed me that viral movement is like a wave. Viruses have a cycle. Although people may think it's what they're doing with medicines or chemicals that gets rid of them. When viruses cycle through bodies, their physical forms may die, but they go on energetically to do their work like a light cloud that rolls over the earth. I'm not going to read the entire article, but I'll read the next couple highlights. They said to her, "Don't be afraid of us. Love us. We are of yourself. Love us, for we help you." And then she asked, "How do we support viruses' work?" And they said, "By love, by rest, by loving yourself, by drinking pure water and all those things that support your health. By doing that, you also support us because then we can leave and mutate to our next level of being." So there's more to the article, but I think I'll end with that. So I offer that to you. I mean, to talk about victims and tyrants right now would take a very long time, and we've run out of time. But I thought that might help.
That's profound, Brad. Thank you for that. And, you know, I had the vision while you were sharing of the turkey buzzard.
Uh-huh.
The turkey buzzard that flies around and cleans up the debris from the dead carcasses, and I felt as if the virus was doing something similar internally.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, that's beautiful, Brad. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is the next question. My question is, how can we support the people who are dying, scared, and alone?
So what I would say, first of all, I just want to say I could feel in this question that whoever asked this question has so much compassion. So I just wanted to acknowledge
that,
and I want to thank you for your compassion. Compassion is such an important aspect of this journey we're on right now. It's the hallmark of the new paradigm of the heart. Having compassion, and that is where we are all going on this journey. So I just want to honor you and thank you for your question. It's a beautiful question. And, you know, there are many ways to answer it. I would say, since most of us are in lockdown, the way that we can support people who might be dying and scared and alone is through prayer. Prayer and things like Reiki or sending healing light, visualizing them well. One of the things we don't want to do is worry about them and project onto them that, oh my God, they might die. And, you know, when we kind of project our own fears and worries onto people, it has the opposite effect of what we want. It ties them up in the negativity and the fear. And then it's sort of like praying for the thing that you don't want. So energetically visualizing them well and surrounded by light and so forth. And if you're in a place where you're not in total lockdown, and if you feel called and you have the courage, you know, you feel well and strong and healthy, then go and help the people who are sick, and maybe help elderly people who might not even be sick but need help, who need care. You know, serve in whatever way you can. And that's important. And then lastly, I would say we can all examine our own consciousness around this issue of how can we help other people. And if necessary, process are any feelings that we have where we might be afraid of death. We might be afraid of dying alone. And really, as Leslie always said, the greatest gift that we can give is our own awakening. So the more we process any fears that we have that we might be projecting onto other people around dying alone, you know, that's going to help enormously too. Thank you for your question.
Mm-hmm. And beautiful, beautiful answer, Brad. The next question is this pandemic part of some international dark scheme? Conspiracy theorists are having a field day. What are your feelings about this? It certainly is suggestive in the behavior of the media and how quickly they went to doomsday.
Yeah, this question about conspiracy theory and doomsday and all that stuff, I mean, this is a great question. There were actually many questions around this theme, and so we picked this one because it was concise, but I know this is on the mind of many people, especially in spiritual circles. You know, we get sent all kinds of YouTube videos and audios and articles and so forth about, you know, many, many types of scenarios. You have doomsday scenarios, you have mass awakening scenarios, you have scenarios of totalitarianism, and you've got scenarios of freedom. And so there's this kind of wide gulf of, like, what's actually happening here? Where are we going? And so it's a great question. And I've done quite a bit of research. I do like to, you know, take all the information in, no matter what it is. I like to be apprised. You know, and what I can share with you is my own journey with it. That's all I can offer you. And the main thing that we talk about here in our little circle in our living room is practicing neither believing nor disbelieving. And that's a practice that Leslie gave us long, long ago. It's essentially witnessing. And it's easier said than done. But it's very, very important. And the stronger you are in your witness, the better you are at this. So practicing neither believing nor disbelieving, it is a skill. And it's a skill that we should all be practicing and exercising that muscle. I think the truth is that nobody really knows the facts. There's a huge amount of disinformation out there. There are people who are purposely trying to confuse everybody. And I feel like just being with the information and watching how you react in your own body with it is very important. So, for example, if you're reading or watching something and you start getting that feeling in your gut, like a clenching feeling, when that happens to me, I stop. I stop, I feel it in my body, I go, oh, the purpose of this is to make me afraid. So, you know, some people call it fear porn. And it's like, you know, a lot of people want that. They just, it's like a train wreck. You know, you kind of can't take your eyes off it, and yet it's horrible. And so my recommendation is that if you ever feel that, stop. Just stop and take a pause and ask yourself, do I really need to be reading this? Do I really need to be exposed to this? Some of it is specifically targeted to just make you feel afraid. It may not even be true information. And so it's a question of discernment at that point. And you know, we each need to practice our discernment and feel what feels in alignment to us and feel what feels out of alignment to us. And what I can tell you from my own, I've actually done a significant amount of research on this over many years. I've been, you know, following people who intuitively I trust their information, and I still practice neither believing nor disbelieving, because really nobody truly knows. But what I would say is there's certainly an attempt right now by what we could call the forces of separation. That's actually what Leslie called it 30 years ago when she started teaching, the forces of separation. And that can be many, many levels. You know, forces of separation can be actual people or who are in leadership positions, or they can be egoic forces, just forces within us that want to reinforce our own separation. So I call it forces of separation, and it's an attempt by the forces of separation to stop our movement into the new paradigm. So we can look at this as, like we were talking about earlier in the call, we can look at this as a collective ego trying to stop us from moving beyond the shell of the ego, and it wants to stay in the status quo. The problem is that the status quo isn't sustainable anymore. The systems are falling apart, and we have to change. So we need to witness these forces of separation when they come up, and we need to witness the fear that comes up and try to move beyond it. So my understanding from all that I've read and watched and using my intuition, all of this is that, and all the channels and teachers that I trust, they're all saying the same thing, and it resonates with my intuition, and that is that these doomsday scenarios are not what's going to happen. Those are paths that might have happened. They might have been a timeline that Earth could have followed long ago, but that's not what's happening now. What I'm feeling is that we're on, you know, what you could call an optimal timeline. There's a timeline that we're on right now where we've been steered by the benevolent beings who guide our planet, and they don't want doomsday. They don't want to see the human experiment fail. They're supporting us in the ascension process, in the ascension into the new paradigm of the heart. And I feel like there are a huge number of people on the planet, like all of us who are listening to this call, that want that. We all want to awaken into the heart. And that is a very powerful force. The forces of separation have very little power. You know, they're grasping at straws. They're holding on to power. They're going to put up a fight, you know, and it's not going to come easily, but it's going to come. What's going to come is this ascension into the heart. We're scheduled for that. Humanity is scheduled for that. So all of the fear propaganda, all of the disinformation, the confusion, the chaos, whatever comes up for us in the coming years, we need to remember to witness that and to do our own spiritual work on it, like we've been talking about on this call. And the truth is that when we're in fear, we're very easily controlled. And so, you know, it's a very practical situation for us where we practice witnessing. We practice rationing our media watching, discerning what media to watch, when to stop. We do our fear clearing exercises. If we get sucked into a scary story, we do all the processing we need to do to clear it out of our system. We exercise, we process, we do all the things we need. We practice love. We practice joy. I'm not talking about spiritual bypassing. I'm not talking about denying the negative states. I'm talking about naming them, feeling them, and letting them go, and moving into the love and the joy. We practice our self-care. We practice compassion and helping other people whenever we can. We're practicing pausing right now. All of us are pausing. Meditating more, being in nature, whatever we can do to raise our vibration. You know, this is what gives us the optimal timeline. This is what is going to not allow the forces of separation to bring forward these doomsday scenarios. Those are not on the schedule anymore, from what I understand. So we could go on, but I'm realizing we've run out of time. Barbara, is there anything you'd like to say about that?
That was great, Brad. And the key that's coming up is it's a distraction. And the opposite of distraction would be focus or present. So it's a
excellent
way to try
point,
to keep,
Barbara.
Keep
yeah.
us out of keep us out of the present
yeah.
moment. So you know, and it's interesting too that it's a way of keeping us in the past or projecting out into the future. To come
yep.
into this fear in this way. So beautiful. Thank you, Brad. That was wonderful.
Well, thank
and
you
I
for
see
bringing
that,
up the distraction part. That's important.
Yes, yes. I see that we're right, you know, pretty close to the hour, and we do have one more question. So are you okay for me to...
I'm wondering if we should close out with a prayer. It seems like we've gone long. What do you think?
I want to
respect people's time.
I do too, Brad, and I can see that this last question could open up more, so maybe we could address it the next time. And
we'll do that.
Finish
we'll
up
take
with
the next
meditation.
Question next time.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's
and our
with
apologies.
A prayer, a quick...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Barbara. So, okay. Let's complete our call with just a couple of minutes of prayer and meditation. I invite you to just close your eyes again and get comfortable and take a few long, deep breaths. I know we've probably really stirred it up. We tend to stir things up when we talk about all this stuff. So if you're stirred up, just long, slow, deep breaths, which tells your body that you're safe. Everything's okay. Breathe in the light and breathe out the shadow. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, Self that we all are. We thank you. We thank all the beings in the invisible realms who surrounded us today in love and support. We're so grateful. We're so deeply grateful for this time that we share, for the love that we share. We give thanks for the transmission that we've been receiving, the transmission of love and healing energy, Shakti. We're deeply grateful for the love and the wisdom. That you bring us all the time, the abundance in our lives. We pray for good health, happiness, and heart-centeredness for all of us and for the whole earth. As we move through this challenging time, help us to be radiant examples of love and joy for others. Help us to have the courage to feel the grief, to feel the fear, and to be able to witness it and let it go. And we send, one last time, we send our love and healing energy and our compassion to everybody on this planet who might be suffering from the challenges we're facing, from illness or from loneliness or from financial fears or whatever it is. We send our compassion, we send our love, especially to the doctors and the nurses and the carers, all the people who are on the front lines, helping those who are dying, helping those who are sick. We wrap them all up in a big ball of light and love. May they have strength and courage. May they get the rest and all the sustenance that they need. So once again, we offer our deep gratitude for this opportunity to be on planet Earth at this extraordinary time of the birthing of the new paradigm. Let us tap into that collective consciousness of joy and excitement and enthusiasm. Let that be our overriding state. We can choose that. And that is what we choose. We're deeply, deeply grateful for these beautiful bodies that we wear on this beautiful planet at this extraordinary time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alalaho. And now I invite you, if you'd like to stay in meditation for a few more moments, we'll continue to sit here in meditation for a few more moments and send a transmission of love and healing energy to you. So we send our blessings, all our love, and we look forward to seeing you again next time. Our next gathering is going to be on Sunday, May 3rd, the same time. So we'll look forward to seeing you then. Many blessings. Bye for now.